This Avro Lancaster Mark I was built by Metropolitan Vickers in 1941 at their Moseley Road Works in Manchester. It served first with 83 Squadron as part of the Pathfinder Force before moving to 467 Squadron in 1943, where it was known as S for Sugar. Sugar completed a staggering 137 operational sorties at a time when the average lifespan of a Lancaster was just 21 operations. This earned her a reputation as a lucky aircraft. The Lancaster was the RAF's most successful wartime heavy bomber, flying over 156,000 sorties. It was powered by four Rolls-Royce Merlin engines, giving it a maximum speed of around 280 miles an hour. If you look at the engines on Sugar, you will notice that they have names painted on them. These refer to four Distinguished Flying Cross recipients who all piloted this aircraft during its time at 467 Squadron. In fact, Sugar is covered in symbolic artwork. You will notice that the nose has a series of bombs painted on it. These represent the 137 sorties flown by the aircraft, in contrast to Hermann Göring's boast painted just below them. There are also four medal ribbons amongst the bombs, representing medals awarded unofficially to the aircraft by her ground crew. The DFC ribbon was added after 30 successful missions, and the Distinguished Service Order after 60. These ribbons also reflect awards given to Sugar's individual crew members. The Lancaster had a crew of seven: a pilot, flight engineer, navigator, bomb aimer, wireless operator, and two air gunners. If you look up at the aircraft, you can see where some of the crew worked. Starting at the nose of the aircraft is the nose turret and the cupola with its flat window. The bomb aimer alternated between these two positions, manning the turret when under attack and lying prone on the floor in the cupola for bomb aiming. Now look above this area to the distinctive greenhouse cockpit. This is where the pilot sat with the flight engineer on his right. Behind them was the navigator's station, comprising a large chart table, control panel and lamp. If you look just behind the cockpit canopy, you will notice a small Perspex bubble. This is the astrodome, which was used for visual signalling and celestial navigation. Below this is where the wireless operator worked. Now look at the wings of the aircraft. Like the Halifax, the Lancaster's wing is constructed of five sections, including a main spar that ran right through the fuselage. This spar created a major obstacle for the crew members moving around inside the cramped fuselage, and was particularly problematic when it came to bailing out. Between the engines, you will notice several chisel-shaped objects. These are cable cutters for slicing through barrage balloon cables if the aircraft became entangled. Now let's look at the Lancaster's most important feature, its extensive bomb bay. At 33 feet long, it was the largest continuous bomb bay of all the wartime heavy bombers. This allowed the Lancaster to carry the biggest bombs the RAF had to offer, including 8,000 and 12,000 pound cookies like the one on display. With slight modifications, it could also carry the 12,000 pound tall boy and the 22,000 pound grand slam, both of which are shown elsewhere in this hall. The Lancaster was also famously modified to carry the upkeep mine, the so-called bouncing bomb designed by Barnes Wallace. You can learn more about this story by visiting our Dambusters film show. If you walk towards the rear of the aircraft, you will see a turret on top. The mid-upper gunner had a 360-degree view, but also the most uncomfortable ride of all the crew. He sat on a canvas seat slung beneath the turret and could spend up to 8 hours in this position. Neither the mid-upper nor tail turrets were heated, so the gunners had to wear electrically heated suits to prevent hypothermia and frostbite. At the back of the aircraft is the tail turret, where the rear gunner sat. Space was so cramped that larger gunners would have to hang their parachute inside the main fuselage because there was no room in the turret. This caused problems when bailing out, as the tail gunner's escape route was through the turret itself, and if the gunner was not already wearing his parachute, he would have to try and put it on inside the tiny turret. It is not surprising that the position of rear gunner was the most dangerous of all the crew, particularly as tail gunners often found themselves in direct line of fire from enemy fighters attacking from behind. If you continue to walk around the aircraft, you will be able to see the main door of the Lancaster. This could also be used as a parachute exit door in emergency. Further along, underneath the fuselage, you can see a large bump. This contains the H2S radar equipment used for navigation, which was added to Sugar in 1944 along with a new paint scheme. This is the same paint scheme that the aircraft is displayed in today. The history of the Lancaster is littered with impressive statistics. In its primary role as a night bomber, it dropped over 600,000 tons of bombs. Lancasters were also used as daylight precision bombers and for special operations like the famous Dams raid in 1943 and Operation Manor when they dropped food over occupied Holland. Towards the end of the war, they were also used for Operation Exodus to bring back prisoners of war from Europe. In fact, Sugar's very last sorties were Exodus flights to and from Brussels.